Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him,
Kevin O'Sullivan.
It's been another rip-roaring week, Kev, hasn't it? I mean, there's been news literally coming out of your arse. I mean, you can't move for news now.
Yeah, but the big story of the week was, of course, my tooth.
Your tooth was the big story of the week, yeah. I have to say. If you haven't seen it, I'm amazed. You must be lying under a slab somewhere because we keep playing it on the station.
Yeah, just to put people in the picture who haven't seen it... So I do my show on Talk every night at 7 o'clock, of course, 7 till 10, don't miss it, 5 days a week, Monday to Friday. You do a handover with the previous presenter, which is, of course, the great Jeremy Kyle.
Yeah.
Jeremy Kyle is sitting there saying, so what you got coming up on your show? I won't go into the long details of my dental problems, but I got this veneer that has fucking fallen off.
Yeah. It keeps coming out.
And I'm in the middle of explaining to Jeremy live on air, on screen, what's coming up on my show. And suddenly this sort of tooth comes flying out. So I'm still... it's the only time in my life, and you'll appreciate what I'm saying here, Mike, that I have seen Jeremy Kyle absolutely lost for words.
Also, it's the only time I've ever seen him change the expression on his face, because normally it's pretty similar, you know, whether he's surprised or sad or funny, laughing, you know, he'll admit himself he's got quite a lot of Botox.
It's that Botox,
But he looked as shocked as I've ever seen him. And he was literally staring. And what he was saying as well was that his producer couldn't see you. So he didn't know what had happened. All he knew was that he looked really shocked and they thought something terrible had happened.
Well, Ryan, the producer, because all he could see was the back of my head, of course it went forward a little bit.
Yeah.
And I made some sort of, some kind of noise like that. And he thought I'd had a heart attack. but the background of it is that I've had quite a lot of expensive dental work, and I think you and I spoke about it on a podcast about 3 weeks ago.
We did.
I fell over at 6 in the morning over a pair of shoes, knocked myself out, fell flat on my face, and chipped this veneer at the front, and I'm in the process of getting a permanent one, but the fucking temporary one won't stay in.
A pain in the arse.
Fucking is a pain in the arse. It should be better by next... Thursday. But I'll tell you, just one last point. We can't spend all the show talking about my dental problems. But the thing is, I've had this since last Thursday, right? Well, this happened on the Tuesday night, right? And so last night, in terms of what we're recording now. So it hadn't, my fucking tooth, it had been fine, even though it's not glued in.
Yeah.
But I could stick it back on and it's sort of all right. So for 4 days flat, it came out once over dinner on Saturday night. Nobody really noticed.
So you can't chew with it?
Yeah, no, not really. I have to be very careful. I clicked it back in. No problem. So the only other time it came out was live on air. It's fucking typical me.
Yeah, I know. That's the trouble with you don't realise, actually, when... You talk quite how much your mouth moves around.
Well, here's the big problem. You know, as people, fans of the Thought Police will know, I'm wont to swear a bit. So when you do the noise, that's when the tooth's likely to come out.
Yes.
So if I say
there's fuck, a bit of air coming behind.
If I go fuck hard, it'll come flying out, which will give me another reason to say fuck.
Right. Although, happily, you're not required to say fuck very often on that.
Not live on air.
They don't like it
but
too much.
Off air, it is a problem.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully it will all be sorted.
Yeah, this time next week, with a bit of luck, it will all be good.
But something tells me it might not be.
Watch this fucking space.
This might not be the end of the saga. But quite a few sagas this week. I mean, we kicked off with old fuckface Starmer going over to France to piss about, looking like the Tonka toy man. And he looked like Ken, didn't he?
It's
from
the
Ken
weirdest,
and Barbie.
That's the weirdest,
strangest thing you've ever seen.
With him and Macron standing in the back of that weird looking Jeep.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't really say this on air, but I'll say it now. What the fuck? It looked like a kind of Nazi rally.
It did.
They looked like a couple of stormtrooper generals.
Yes.
Being presented to their
inspecting
troops.
The troops, and they were all French troops. I mean, you could understand it if there was some kind of English contingent, there was a British army representation of some kind, but there wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, I know, and I get people who say, look, he went to France because it was the 80th anniversary, I think, of the end of the war and all of that. But at the end of the day, surely to God, somebody would have said to him, well, go if you wish, But go in the capacity as Prime Minister. Don't go and take part in any fucking stupid gimmicks.
Also,
which are going to look idiotic.
Also, that was Armistice Day. So, you know, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month.
Which is technically the First World War, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's when Armistice Day is. So he should have stayed in Britain for that. Mm. And then by all means hop over in France. But to be in France at that very special moment.
Yes, for the 2 minute silence, you're right.
He totally should have been fucking wrong. Mm. Totally fucking wrong. And then, as you say, weird, weird parade with him and Macron standing there like a couple of little tin pot Hitlers.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he flew off to not much COP29
in Azerbaijan, which apparently I think is a 5.5 hour flight from here, so probably about the same from Paris. For no apparent reason, you know, goes there just to stay away from Britain, I think it sounds like, doesn't
it? Well, this is, I did this story about a month ago. This has been in his first 100 days, he was out of the country for something like 13 days. Right. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And now it's getting more and more prevalent that he's always out of the country.
I think it's up to something like 22 days.
Easily. And
which is almost an entire month out of four.
The reason that he's going abroad a lot is what happened. All these new leaders, they get voted in, right? And they're all thrilled, you know. Oh, the country loves me, and I'm on the honeymoon period. Oh, yeah.
It's great being Prime Minister. Well, of course.
But of course, his honeymoon period lasted about 20 minutes,
right?
Because he's such a fucking Olympic standard cunt.
Yes.
And so everybody hates him now.
Right.
And this is what always happens with new leaders. They go away. They go to foreign countries more and more and more, because when they're at home, everybody hates them to the extent as we are. They laugh at them.
Yeah.
So we just laugh at this prick now. They go abroad because they get taken seriously and they get respected.
Yeah. And he made his little speech over there, which is so ludicrous and, you know, out of kilter with reality that nobody's even bothering to criticise it, because people are just going, well, he's not going to be able to do any of that. 81% cutback in carbon emissions. Do fuck off. He's not going to be able to do it.
What a weird thing to say.
Right.
That we will reduce or cut back carbon emissions so that we are producing 81% less carbon than we were in 1990.
Right.
What a convoluted sort of equation.
And also, where do you get 81%?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. 81%, 1990.
Yeah.
What the fuck is he talking about? It doesn't matter, because none of it amounts to a hill of beans. We won't achieve it. COP21, him and crazy Ed Miliband, about the only world leaders who fucking bothered to turn up.
Yeah.
That annual jamboree is, or it's biannual, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is
COP28 was it last year or earlier this year?
I can't remember if it's every, is it every year?
I think it's every year now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
the last one was in Dubai.
But that is, the whole jamboree is falling apart, it seems. People aren't bothering anymore. And of course, now that the most powerful man in the world, in charge of the most powerful country in the world, Donald Trump, is president again, of course, and he doesn't believe in the climate
calls it a hoax.
That cast a massive great shadow over the entire COP29 farce. And it was all a fucking joke,
which is probably why a lot of them didn't bother going.
Even alleged climate change fanatics like Olaf Scholz from Germany, Macron from France, Ursula von der Leyen from the EU, none of them went. And of course, Biden didn't go, Trump didn't go.
Yeah.
Fucking total waste of time. Yeah. And
Modi didn't go from India.
That's right.
Xi didn't go from China.
And
maybe Starmer thought, if I go, I'll be the most important person there.
Yeah.
Well, pop quiz, mate, you're fucking not.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe he fucking was, and that's how feeble that was.
Do you know, I was talking to my daughter Emma, she's been out there, right? She interviews this guy who's the head of ExxonMobil, right?
Yeah.
Do you know how much money he makes in a year?
God.
31 million.
Jesus.
And these are the fucking people running the world.
Forget
about fucking the Keir Starmers of this world.
ExxonMobil
are fucking at a climate conference, right? What do you think they're doing?
They're not talking about renewables.
I mean, bizarrely, some of them have been, haven't they? Because BP and Shell, I think, have come out and said, oh, pretty soon we're going to stop exploring for oil and gas.
Bullshit.
Don't fucking tell me such.
It's all virtue signalling. It's performative.
Yes.
This whole climate change bullshit is performative.
Yeah. They're all pretending, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly right. They're just making it all up. And
I don't think they even believe it themselves.
I don't think Keir Starmer does.
No.
I think Crazy Ed Miliband is so fucking deranged that he does kind of believe it. I don't think Starmer does.
He's a fucking idiot, though.
You can't, you know, was it one day last week? The renewables are so cheap.
Mm.
Because... if the wind's blowing and the sun's shining, yeah, renewable energy is quite cheap. One day last week, I think it was last Tuesday, how much renewable energy was powering Britain? 6%.
94%. It's been certainly under 5% for most of the month of November.
Yeah.
Because we're in this weird place where they call it, hood and flout or
something? Yeah, and there's no sunshine.
There's no wind, there's no sunshine. Yeah, yeah. Great for the migrants, they can all jump on a fucking dinghy and get over in double quick time. But, you know, the bottom line is that in the past, I think, 4 to 6 weeks, 80% plus of the energy provided to the grid has come from fossil fuels.
Yeah. But it's this fucking idea. What's the most annoying thing about this green claptrap? Mm. It is the way that we in Britain have these policies imposed on us by virtue signals like Miliband, saying that accepting... But we can't make any fucking difference to the global pollution scene at all. Because we produce less than 1% of the world's carbon carbon emissions. So if we stopped all electricity, stopped driving cars, went back to living in mud fucking huts, wouldn't make any fucking difference. Right. But so we go, well, why are you making us do all this shit then? Well, it's very important that Britain shows the lead.
Yeah.
As if Xi Jinping over in fucking Beijing is going to have sleepless nights because Britain's doing so much to save the world. Do me a fucking favour. Xi Jinping and his country are producing 28% of the world's pollution. They've got 1,100 coal fuel power stations. They're building 300 more. They're expanding exploration for more coal. And what are they doing with this? They are building those fucking great windmills and selling them to Britain. I mean, Jesus Christ.
You couldn't make it up, could you?
It's a joke.
And also, all of this bullshit about growth and jobs and money and investment, it's all government money. It's all government-sponsored fucking, subsidies that are given to companies for going green. Yeah. And we're not getting any fucking benefit out of it at all.
Of course, it's really fucking worrying. And, you know, the other, you know, we've all got really high, expensive energy bills because we have to pay levies in order to subsidise this green shit.
Do we have to do that?
Because the government are a shower of cunts, that's why.
And that's the only reason.
And so because of their useless policies that don't work, we have to buy energy in all the time. I mean, I checked it out. There's a website you can look it up, a National Grid or something.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday.
Oh yeah, you can check every day.
Yeah, yeah. So yesterday, I think it was 12% we were buying in. Where, among other places, do we buy it in from? We buy it in from America, and that energy is fracked. Yes. It's fracked gas,
and it's also sent over here on a diesel ship.
Yeah.
Right. From one side of the Atlantic to the other. We also get a load of fucking natural gas from Qatar, which also comes in on ships, are diesel powered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It makes no fucking sense at all.
It's just a complete con, and it doesn't make any sense. There's no economic cohesion there at all, and it will make us all a lot poorer and a lot colder.
It will.
And Ed Miliband can go and fuck himself.
Yeah, well, he's got two kitchens, so if one of them goes out of order, don't worry, he's got another one right next to it.
Honestly,
I mean, this is the other thing, though. I did a piece of the Telegraph this week about Miliband and this whole ludicrous fucking green bullshit fucking self-delusion that they're going on with.
Yeah.
Do you know, they're also building, they've got licences now to build, or to, I suppose, I don't know when you call them, tunnelling. They're going to make undersea cables that will link the United Kingdom to mainland Europe so that they can transmit power between here and there. But it's not necessarily because we need to have power coming in. They think they're going to be exporting the power into fucking Europe, right? So we're going to be making energy for Europe. And people have said, well, if you do that, that's fine, but it will drive the price of energy up. So actually, by producing our own energy and selling it, it will get more expensive for us.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt that before too long, at a certain point, some government, probably won't be this one, but when I say confront reality, they'll collide with reality.
Yes.
And they'll have to ditch all this shit because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work,
yeah.
And it is punishingly expensive, yeah. Particularly.
And also, at what point are they going to admit that there aren't any fucking jobs being created? Do you remember Boris? Yeah. Do you remember Boris was going to create all these jobs up in Grimsby?
Yeah.
Because we were going to have this fucking amazing, you know, wind-powered hub,
yeah.
of some kind or other.
Yeah.
And they were going to create 800 jobs. How many jobs have been created in Grimsby? Fuck all. No. Absolutely nothing.
It's really frightening. It's frightening that we have a government that is more interested in virtue signalling and polishing its own
halo and taxing us
than confronting reality, dealing with reality, and doing its best to give us cheap energy. We could be fracking now. Mm. You know, when America fracked, and who, by the way, gave the go-ahead to fracking? It was Barack Obama.
Mm.
So you don't have to be right-wing to like fracking.
Yeah.
They found underneath the soil there 125, 150 years worth of cheap energy.
Yeah.
So in America, energy costs fuck all,
yeah.
and they're busy selling it to us. Here, we could have had the same. Apparently, there's a load of fracked energy underneath.
There is, particularly Lancashire.
But we, as a country, declared, and this was the fucking stupid Tories, almost as cuntish as Labour, they declared, oh, no, we can't frack.
Oh, it's dangerous.
Because it might cause an earthquake in Blackpool. Yeah. Bollocks. Absolute bollocks.
Because they've got these fucking, as usual, activists, right, who start fucking demonstrating outside wherever it is they want to do it. They start scaring the shit out of the locals and showing them that ridiculous film from America where they you put the tap on and flames come out, which is by now has been completely debunked. It was a very weird situation somewhere in Ohio, I think.
Yeah.
But the people who are against fracking use it all the time. Go, look what happens here. Well, yeah, but they frack in fucking 48 states out of 50. And nobody's died.
Yeah.
Nobody's fucking polluted.
Exactly.
The water's fine. In fact, our water's dirtier, and we don't even frack. Because you know why? Because it's full of shit.
Yeah.
Because the water companies, the fucking water companies, can't do their job properly.
Just a little aside here about American water. When I lived in LA, went through this phase where the tap water started coming out, sort of slight brown colour.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's going, fuck all this.
Right.
And in it were these tiny little shrimp things.
Wow.
And the water board, the authorities in LA said, it's all right, it's perfectly safe, you can drink it. It's like, no fucking
so you put live animals
there were little the there body. Were little fucking shrimps in it, but they said, don't worry, they won't do any harm. It's like, well, you know, if you don't mind, I'll go and buy the water.
Well, you know, I've never drunk the tap water in my house in London because it's got a sort of slightly, I mean, it doesn't taste bad or anything, but it's, if you put it next to a bottle of, you know, clear water,
it looks
a bit yellowy.
Whereas
down in Sussex, it's water from a well, which is lovely.
Yeah.
And I'll drink the water from a tap there. But the water in a lot of parts of Britain, I wouldn't touch it with fucking barge pole.
You go back to this fucking energy pod, this green crap, right? I heard the shadow climate and net zero.
Oh, yeah, Claire Coutinho,
secretary on your show this morning, Claire Coutinho. Who refused to disassociate
herself. Yeah, I tried to get her to do it.
I know you did. She would. Now, here's a memo for Kemi Badenoch.
Yeah.
If you don't fucking ditch all of this green shit, I mean all of it, like Donald Trump, call it a hoax, say we're not going to fucking impose this expensive bollocks, this virtue signalling bullshit on the people anymore. If you don't do a Trump, the Tory party have finished.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Because Reform UK, they'll get rid of it.
They will. Because people don't want it, you know, because I keep saying this. I had a guy in from the Climate Party earlier in the week, and a very nice man, you know, barrister, councillor somewhere in Berkshire or somewhere. Yeah. But he couldn't make sense of anything. He couldn't actually put a sentence together. He couldn't convince me of anything. And I said to him, look, but the people don't want this. And I said, if you gave me a cheap electric car, I might have an electric car. If you gave me a cheaper way of heating my home, I might do it, but if it's more expensive and it's going to cost thousands of pounds, I'm not fucking doing it.
But you also, with him, I heard that, and you highlighted the insanity of all of this by saying to him, look, over the last 10, 20 years, Britain has reduced its carbon emissions by 42%, significantly more than any other country on the face of the earth. He said, oh, there's so much more to do. And you kept saying to him, do you accept that we have reduced our emissions by more than any other country? And it took him five minutes to find out. Well, you're right, we have.
Yeah, but it doesn't count.
We've got so much more to do.
It doesn't count because in developing countries, you know, they haven't been polluting
for like long. They give a shit.
Yeah, they just want more fucking money.
Like, I mean,
this is basically a scam
for
developing countries, as they're called, third world countries to get fucking money from the West.
Yeah.
If they're not getting reparations, I bet you any fucking money that we start giving money away to these nations.
Yeah. Climate reparations. That,
you know, they need climate reparations.
Well, we already fucking are.
Yeah.
This Labour lot have already pledged £11.6 billion to foreign countries for their green projects.
Yeah.
While saying, oh, there was some huge hole in the public finances. Well, here's a fucking idea. Don't give foreign countries £11.6 billion fucking quid.
That would be
cunts.
A start, wouldn't it?
You cunts.
Don't give fucking junior doctors 22% of a fucking pay rise.
Yeah, talking of utter and complete cunts, should we talk about the Archbishop of Canterbury?
Former Archbishop of Canterbury.
Yeah. I mean, well, everybody knows this.
I mean, you're a student of history, you might know the answer to this. Have we ever been without an Archbishop of Canterbury? Because we are currently without one. I don't know the answer to that.
Certainly, I mean, I'm not up on this, but I've read that no one can remember an Archbishop of Canterbury having to resign.
Right.
And this guy has not just resigned, he's resigned in shame.
Yeah.
And people are trying to sort of say, well, he's a good man, he made a mistake here, but he's a good man. Potentially, if you look into this story, what he did was fucking wicked, absolutely wicked.
Yeah. Particularly if he did it knowingly.
As we understand it, he did know that this bloke, John Smythe, who was a sort of Church of England barrister who ran these summer camps.
Right. Well, now we know why.
From poor little boys. Yeah. And by the way, we can say what this cunt did now. I can't really say it on air because it's just too explicit. But Thought Police fans are big enough to take this. His big thing was little kids, like 8, 9, 10 years old, right? What he liked to do is he took them into a shed.
Right.
And he would whip them and smash them so hard with a cane. And his big thing is, the big thing he got off with, what was to whip them until their blood started spurting. Mm. And he got off on it hitting him.
Wow.
And spurting.
Really?
That was his big thing. That was his big fucking thing. So Welby was told, and by the way, Welby's known him since the 1970s.
Yes.
And
they bunked together at one point.
And Welby used to attend these camps, not as a boy, but as a sort of supervisor.
Yeah, right.
He might have had some idea anyway. But in 2013, he was officially informed that there were serious fears about John Smythe, and didn't do anything. He said Welby's story is. Well, I should have told the police, but I didn't because I was under the impression the police had been told.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure about this. I've got a feeling Welby's lying.
Right.
But either way, his inactivity, his inaction, after knowing what this cunt was doing, just letting him carry on, in effect, it's wicked.
It is.
It's wicked.
Because to know something like that, now that you've explained what it is that he did, I mean, I didn't know the details
to
that
extent.
I mean, I knew that a lot of the abuse was said to be non-sexual because he just liked
beating
boys.
To the point
of sounds also,
spurting
but
blood.
But that sounds sexual to me.
Yeah. Spurting blood is what he's done.
But he's getting some kind of sexual satisfaction.
Yeah, definitely.
So it is sexual abuse, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, definitely.
But so what Welby did was not only not tell the police, not only not investigate further, not even to the point where they would say, is this man really capable or worthy of doing work inside the church? Mm. They sent him off to fucking Africa, didn't they?
Yeah.
And basically said,
Where
he carried on doing it. It's a bit like, you know, those Oxfam stories where they take the guy out of the Caribbean. Remember the guy they took out of the Caribbean because he was basically making child prostitutes in Haiti.
That's right. Using charitable donations to get whores,
but also to turn younger age girls into prostitutes, right? So they went, oh, that's okay, we'll take you away from there, we'll put you into Africa. And they sent him somewhere like Nigeria, where he did the same fucking thing, still working for Oxfam.
So we don't know the full story, but, you know,
it's pretty grim.
Yeah, Welby, I would say, is in a world of shit. I think the police have to investigate him, because if he knew about this and he didn't pass on that information That's called complicit. He's complicit.
Well, it's one thing to say...
He's potentially broken the law.
I ordered somebody to tell the police, but they didn't do it, and I didn't know that, because they somehow lied to me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying
he was under the impression
that somebody had told the police.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is hardly exactly rigorous, is it?
Yeah.
Well, he's the leader of the Church of England.
Again, we can only talk of the impression you get from this saga. And the impression you get from this saga is that Justin Welby covered up for his mate.
Yes.
Simple as
that. That's what it looks like.
That's why he's had to step down.
And he's had to step down, as we were saying earlier today, more than likely got a call from the palace to say, you know, the king really thinks you probably shouldn't be hanging around.
Starmer told him to.
And I think Starmer as well, because Starmer, for once in his life, actually seemed to do the right thing and didn't endorse him yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
When he was asked a question, he was very cool about what was going on. And he clearly realised, because he clearly didn't want to resign, because, you know,
hang on,
48 hours ago, it looked like he was just going to try and sort of bluster his way through it, because that's what people tend to do now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But they always have to go in the end.
Yeah, yeah, let's see, it's the new, no, very few people these days, it used to be a big thing in British life, the honourable resignation.
Yes.
I'm old enough to remember the Falklands War.
Yeah.
And Lord Carrington, who was the Foreign Secretary.
It was a very good Foreign
Secretary.
Very
beloved of Margaret Thatcher at the time. As soon as the Falkland War happened, he resigned.
Yeah.
Margaret Thatcher, he was a very able man. Margaret Thatcher saying to him, "No, please don't resign. You're good at this job."
Right.
He said, "I should have seen this coming."
Yeah.
And it is a matter of honour.
Yeah.
I must tender my resignation. Yeah. And you hear that story and you think, whatever happened to that?
Right.
You know, well, you don't get that.
You certainly don't get it in Westminster.
I mean, look at
all the MPs.
Politicians just cling on. Remember Hancock?
Yeah.
Hancock. I mean, you know, clinging on for dear life. Yeah. Thinking that somehow or other, and fucking Johnson, Boris Johnson, that somehow or other...
Pincher, he did the same.
So the honourable resignation has gone, and Welby did not honourably resign, and then you got all these fucking lefties like Alistair Campbell and Rory Stewart going, "Oh, he's a good man, so sorry to
but
see
him." But doesn't it say something as well about the calibre of those people who only want him to be a good man because they like his politics? They think, oh, he's a Remainer, therefore he can't be a bad guy. He must be a good guy.
He's a good guy because he's left-wing like us.
Because all the other people who are horrible right-wingers and the people who wanted Brexit, they're all bad people. So they're the ones that are involved in all the crime and all the paedophilia and all the nasty shit that happens.
Yeah.
Because nobody who wants to be in the European Union could ever possibly be like that. How fucking immature is that as a thought process?
It's just that he's a good guy because he's left-wing.
Right.
And you know, even quite a few on X or Twitter or whatever the fuck you call it these days, even quite a few lefties were hauling Campbell and Stewart over the coals, just saying, "Good man, you know, really sorry to see him go." A few lefties saying, "What about the paedophilia?
Yeah, right.
You know,
what about the damage he was doing to young
about
children?
What about the 132 boys?
It's fucking ridiculous.
Whose lives were ruined by this monster, and fucking looks as if Welby knew about it. You know, it's disgusting.
It really
is disgusting,
and possibly criminal. But we'll see about that.
Yeah.
Speaking of X, let's talk about the Guardian because they're back in the news, aren't they?
Yeah, and The Guardian, that newspaper, some of you may not have heard of it because it sells about 3 copies now.
Mostly to the BBC.
Yeah!
If it wasn't for the BBC, they wouldn't sell anything.
It is that they get so many copies of The Guardian.
I think they literally get about 10 or 15,000 a day.
Yeah. So, The Guardian has stopped posting anything on X on Twitter.
Oh, dear.
Because it says that X is now toxic.
It's toxic.
It's toxic.
No, it's poisonous. Man. It's been taken over by right-wingers, and all the algorithms are about conspiracy theories.
Oh, fuck
off.
So what, anyway?
Yeah.
And then this follows hot on the heels of last week when Trump magnificently won the election. Still buzzing about that, by the way.
They can't get over it.
Yeah, so Catherine Viner, the editor of The Guardian...
Who's paid in excess of £500,000 a year.
Of course she is, so
good socialist wage.
She's all right, Jack, don't worry about that.
Mm.
She wrote to all the staff an email saying, if you need therapy, then we're here to help.
Exactly.
So she's offering therapy to journalists...
Yeah.
on a national newspaper who can't cope with the fact that right-wing Donald Trump has been elected
They
president.
Do that now, though, in every fucking news organisation, because I've seen that in other places. Certainly in America they do it, you know, at some of the big networks where they go, you know, if you've been seeing some disturbing scenes, you know, of the hurricanes or, you know, maybe of some shootings that have taken place, you know. I mean, can you imagine in the fucking 80s when we were working in Fleet Street? Do you want any counselling? Yeah, I'll go to the fucking pub. Yeah, I'm going to go and get about 10 pints down my neck and I'll be back after lunch.
I can imagine being at the Sun and Kelvin McKenzie coming up to me and saying, would you like any counselling?
Yeah, well, fuck off.
Fuck off, you're fired. Get counselled down the pub.
Yeah, exactly. But it is, I mean, the world has changed dramatically, hasn't it? From what we used to know. And I mean, I don't actually think, and I don't speak for you because I couldn't, but I don't think any of the things that we saw, some of which were pretty fucking awful, did us any harm.
I enjoyed the cut and thrust of it. I enjoyed the cold nastiness of it. You know, where sink or swim.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Everybody was going to be a cunt to you. Yeah. Might as well be a cunt back. You know,
but it's a pretty good training ground for life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you made great friends, right? And there were some fucking absolutely horrific people.
Yeah.
And you know, you treated them as such.
It was a baptism.
It was fucking dog eat dog.
It was horrific at times on Fleet Street, but you know, I loved it. It fucking dangerous place to be. Every day you could get fired.
Yeah.
You never knew what the fuck was going to happen.
Right. And also you never knew what you were going to be doing.
Yeah.
Which was the other great thing.
Yeah. Basically, look after your own arse because no one else is going to.
Exactly.
But you go back to old Trump. He's shaping up. The things he's done since last week are amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen.
I love the appointment.
Have you seen everybody? Look this up. Trump's declaration on trans culture. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's stunning.
And his thing about we're only going to have two genders.
Exactly. Right. It's stunning.
Male
and female. He just says there'll be no more. You know, surgery on children.
Yeah.
Any doctors or pharma companies responsible for this will be held to account. As you quite rightly say, from now on in American law, there will be two genders, male and female.
Exactly.
It's absolutely. It is a repudiation. It is a destruction.
Right.
All the shit
yeah.
we still have to put up with
yeah,
in this country.
It's a pretty good sort of reset for common sense, isn't it? He's basically done the same thing with the migrants. He's saying, look, you want to fucking come here illegally, you know, you're going to get thrown out. You're going to get deported. I don't give a shit where you go or where you come from. He's got this new border czar who looks fantastic, right? This is the guy who used to be a New York cop who's saying things like, you know, you better get ready to pack your bags because we're coming for you.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, they're not fucking around.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you come back, 10 years automatic prison. And if you come back and shoot or kill a member of the public services, like a cop or a fireman or anything like that, the fucking death penalty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, fucking bring it on.
America's like all Western countries. It's going to be tough to turn them around.
Yeah, sure.
To return them to a sort of common sense efficiency.
Yeah.
It's very difficult, particularly if you've got a left-wing administration.
Mm.
So.
Right.
We've had a left-wing administration for the past 15 years.
Probably, yeah.
Ever since Cameron came.
Certainly ever since Cameron.
Cameron was fucking left-wing. They're all fucking left. So our administration is in a total fucking mess.
Mm.
We need a Trump to come in and sort it out. But it's going to be hard for him to turn the good ship America around. But he's just appointed Elon Musk for government efficiency, the czar for command, basically in America, do you know that there are so many government agencies?
Yes,
that they don't know how many there are.
Yes,
I saw that
clip from Elon Musk. He said there's more government agencies than the number of years America's been a republic.
Well, there are more than 400. Government agencies you can account for, but there's some, they think there are quite a few knocking around that people have kind of forgotten about, but they're still there.
But we've got the same problem. I mean, if we've got one quango, we've got a million quangos, you know, and every time, do you remember they always used to have a bonfire of the quangos every time we got a new government, and it always ended up with more quangos.
Yeah.
It was like, you haven't got rid of any, you've actually got fucking more.
Yeah.
And the number of people now employed by the state has gone up, because it used to be one third of the working population worked for you know, the public sector.
Yeah.
Now it's 50%.
Yeah.
So it's half of the people working in this country are working for the public sector. It's a fucking shambles.
It really is.
And if it wasn't for the people like you and I who work in the private sector, they'd never have any money.
Yeah. Well, that's
they
what
they would never have any money.
These fuckers are extreme socialists.
Yeah.
They're Marxists basically. Yeah. And just like Marxists, what they believe, if you like, private industry, private individuals, people who work in the private sector, that we are, as far as they're concerned, for one thing.
Mm.
We are to
fucking rape
make money so they can take massive amounts of tax off us and fund the public sector.
Yeah.
The private sector is just to fund the government and the public.
Wouldn't it be amazing if Elon Musk gets in and basically cuts it all in half and just goes, you know what, we don't need half the people. That's what he did at fucking Twitter.
He just
got rid of half the fucking people, said we don't need you.
I've got a feeling that Trump is a very, it's clear already, he's a very different proposition to what he was the first time
around. He's more savvy, I think,
yeah, exactly right. The first time around, he was a neophyte, but he was of good intentions.
Yeah.
But then he found the Washington jungle impossible
to
navigate, as so many before him have.
Yeah.
This time he knows all about it.
Yeah.
And already he's looking very impressive. Yeah. If he achieves some of all of the things he says he's going to achieve, you know, like stop the migrant crisis, make government efficient, get rid of hundreds of agencies,
get the economy back,
you know, stop all the trans bullshit.
Yeah.
He's going to kick out all the green crap.
Mm.
People in the West, particularly in this country, they're going to look at America and go, "We'll have a bit of that."
Well,
so
I'm
the next
told,
election,
I'm told, for enough out of COP29 to go back full circle to that. The people who were out. They're from the sort of the big banks and the various kind of, you know, financial houses around the world are all saying, "We're fucking glad Trump's in, because you know what? He actually listens to people, he listens to us, and he does what you and what he thinks about what he's going to do, and actually he does it. What he doesn't do is wait for some fucking trans wanker to walk in the room and say, 'Oh, but what about doing this?' You know what I mean?
Some bloke in a dress.
Yeah. I mean, you see that fucking pair in the White House?
I know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And
so,
you really think that this is a way to run a government?
Yeah,
well,
the Biden's official representatives at the Bastille Day celebrations at the French ambassador's Washington residence.
Yeah.
So that's July the 14th. Mm. With two blokes in fucking dresses.
Yeah.
You know, fucking one in
a
naval
uniform
and a dress.
You know,
that's just crap.
It's mad.
It's fucking insane. And, you know, by all means, you want to fucking wear a dress if you're a bloke. I don't give
but
a
shit. If you're working for the government,
don't give
a
shit.
Do it on your night off.
But why did Biden do that? It went out of his way to find blokes in dresses to say, "Look at us, aren't we woke?" No, you stupid old cunt, you're a wanker. fucking hell.
He doesn't know what fucking.
But I tell you, with the exception of Britain, the whole world is turning. They're realising. It's the thing about, you know, they say people like you and me, we're right wing and all that. I don't really think we are.
No.
We just, we have a sort of thing about common sense. Right. You know, sending blokes
the dial has moved so far over to the left,
yeah.
It seems like we're right wing, but actually the middle is more likely to be where we are.
Well, you know, we say things like, "Well, turn the fucking boats around," or arrest all migrants when they turn up illegal on our shores, and then deport them. They say, "You're right wing, you're far right racist." No,
it's true.
Well, it's common sense.
These people are breaking the fucking law. You don't know who they are.
Yeah.
They're coming into the country. Some of them have, after having done that, committed terrorist offences. In my view, that means you block every fucking one of them.
Yeah, exactly. It's common sense to stop them. And that's why, you know, Donald Trump sort of said, look, if you vote for Kamala Harris, this shit with the borders is going to carry on.
Yeah.
20 million people
coming
across. And by the way, my wife Henrietta went out last night with an old friend of ours from LA, and she's British, but she runs a big PR agency. She's got a place in New York and LA. And she, when we were there, she was just like this classic fucking lefty Democrat, wide-eyed. So Henrietta's going out. She's over to see her mum. So Henrietta went out last night, and she's a nice girl. But Henrietta said, "Oh, she's fucking going on about Harris, now terrible Trump is.
Right.
She just
really?
Said, no. So sat down, and Oberon is her name. She goes, great news about Trump. All these lefties in America, they wanted Trump to win.
Yes.
Because the choice was Trump, who will do something, and Harris,
who won't.
Will do fuck all.
Right. Exactly right.
They're fucking unbelievable.
I know. Shocking. Well, listen, we've done 40 minutes already.
Yeah.
So we should probably stop.
Yeah.
We've got some work to do.
Well, one last point. Fulham are sixth in the Premier League, but...
that's pretty good going.
We'll part that. We're getting good, man.
Well, Man United are getting better as well, though. They've got a new manager. They've got rid of fucking Ten Hag.
Ten Hag. The man with the fucking... That's football, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get... Right, you sack, you useless cunt. Here's £15 million. Oh my God, I've been sacked. I'm going to have to get a private jet back home. Unfucking believable. I want to be a Premier League manager.
I know. Can you imagine? Just get the job for about 2 years and walk away 15 million. Fucking ridiculous.
Anyway, fuck all you lot. See you next week.
See you later.